can't quit yet. Oh, we really appreciate them, don't we?
We do.
Lucy, did you ever have a tonight? Two professional characters singing with you, Ruthie.
Yeah, they're characters.
That's right. They're professional at it, I think. Now comes a young man that I think every one of us fell in love with. And he's doing one of the projects that I wish I had the strength to do. And that's try to clean up the movie industry. I don't have enough years left, I'll tell you, even if I got out there and did all I could do, I still couldn't get it done. But I think Dan here is going to make a great big dent in that movie industry, and I think he already has, and he's going to do more. And this is his God work. You know, we all know, and I know why Dan here is in there cleaning up the movie industry to the best of his ability, and I'm proud of him.
She cracks me up. Oh, boy. You know, sometimes...
I'm cracked.
No, I had a... I guess if you need a press kit, you know, go to Millie, because she knows how to beam people up. Thank you, Millie. It's always fun. I always get nervous when I'm up here, so I'll probably start dancing around and stuff. But it really is fun to share with you. Yeah, I'll talk about a couple of areas today. One kind of leading into the other is a question of faith. And maybe I want to open up, do something a little bit different, and kind of ask you, what is faith? Define in your own minds, what are the conceptions, and how in your own belief system, how would you describe faith? Because we're people of faith, we're talking about. We believe in something, but tell me about what faith is.
You believe in a higher power.
Believe in a higher power?
Yeah, and I think you're trying to get to have that.
Okay, cool. Believe in a higher power, okay.
Yeah.
That there's light. Great. Faith. Manifested. Faith will be manifested. Any other thoughts on this whole concept of faith? You know, I was thinking about it, and I was actually going to speak on two different, thinking about a couple of different subjects. One was the Book of Romans and kind of doing an overview on it, and then I thought, you know, in the beginning of the book it talks about faith, and it led me over to another book in the Bible, the Book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and to be certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and to be certain of what we do not see. And it seems almost a dichotomy. How can you believe what you don't see? And, you know, it's real interesting is that our belief system, those things that we believe not only about God, but about our relationship to God, are the things that anchor us in life. And when we get, and as we grow in our faith, we begin to, in a way, blossom. Because we go through life and it goes through. We have experiences. Now, it's an, you know, Michael, you trust me, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Come on up here. I want to do a demonstration. Yeah, come on up.
What are you tonight, Michael?
He's not fragile. That's why I picked him. You know, he's a tough guy. If you would stand right up here. There's a word in the Bible, and it's the same word that's used for faith and trust. You can turn around and you can just kind of hang out for a minute. And it's the Greek word pisteu, which I don't know why it's the English pronunciation. And it's basically trust. Faith, it's the same kind of rooted word as trust. And when you came in and you sat down on that pew, that chair, you had a certain sense that it was going to hold you up. You had a certain faith of its strength and its ability. Right? Now, you trust me?
Sure.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. If you'll just stand right over here, and what I'm going to ask you to do is basically to fall back with your arms open, and I'm going to just catch you. But I'm going to catch you past the point that you can catch yourself. Have you ever done this before? Has anybody ever experienced this? Where you get right at that point, then you determine whether or not you trust that person. And you'll know it because they'll be like this, and then it'll be this like cat-like motion and, you know, in the nine floors. But if there's total trust, it'll just be kind of like he's falling into a pillow. Okay, Michael, are you ready to trust me? He may not be able to trust me. Okay, go ahead and fall back. This guy's really great. Thank you. But did you see when he got to that point where there was no turning back? Now that's true faith. But it's faith and it's a belief in something that's reliable. Like the chair or the pew that you're sitting on, and you know, hopefully me, you know, sitting there catching you, and I don't like play a joke on you and you end up being like pizza and, you know, mess up your back or anything. But conceptually what I want to drive home is this idea of trust and faith, and then as we proceed in our lives, how do we build our faith? Because I think that if we can figure out, for lack of a better term, a formula to build our faith, we can then go forward and to realize more of our dreams and go forward and exercise to a greater degree the gifts that God has given to us. And so, when you think about it, we're talking about a faith or a belief or a trust in God, right? That's kind of the ultimate deal. It's a spiritual reality that's more than an airy-fairy, feel-good, new age, la-di-da. It goes past that. And I'm not capping on that. I'm not being derogatory towards that. What I'm saying, it's bigger than that. It's time-tested over all the ages, over thousands of years, since the beginning of creation, even before creation, because obviously God is eternal. And so, what I want to maybe share with you is a beginning point of how we can anchor ourselves in this whole issue of faith. And just one passage I want to share with you. At Romans 1:19, it says, real simply, it says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, meaning mankind, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made. Anybody understand what that means? By what has been made. It's about creation. It's the idea that when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, as you go through your day, and you see the sun come up and the sun go down, and you see the sun come up and the sun go down every day and every night, and when you see the incredible systems that the world is made up of, and whatever, the ecosystem and this system and that, you know, all the different things that make up the world, we realize that there's an intelligence and a power, invisible attributes, and the power of God. We see it every single day. And that's kind of God's beginning point with all of us. It's right before us. It's magical. You know, I live up in on the coast, and we get some incredible sunsets. And you know, I just look at them, and there's nothing that can even compare to them. They're just so brilliant and almost surrealistic. They can be so pretty. Have you ever seen sunsets like that? Where you just look at it and you go, wow, there's kind of this internal, it's a feeling. It's just this internal feeling that there's something so much bigger and so much more majestic and so incredibly creative. And if you look at all of creation, and I love this about God, is that you look at all of creation, heck, if you even look at the people in here and how different we are, how cool is that? I mean, you think about it. Yeah, you know, we talk about dogs and cats and you know, tigers and lions and all the variety of flowers and just the incredible intricacies of creation. And us being made in the image of God, we have those attributes in us. So we have the ability to create. It's part of our nature. And a lot of it's, you know, discovering that nature. But the totally cool thing is that we're all so different. And thank God we're all different, because we're supposed to be. There's nobody on the planet that does what you do the way that you do it. You don't have to emulate anybody. I mean, you can look to people that maybe you learn from them, but you know what? You've got your own stamp. You've got your own fingerprint. You know, you've got your own beautiful way of expressing the person of God, expressing the life of God within your very body and within your very being. Now, for those that know me, I really dislike victims, people that walk around and, you know, complainers. I was telling Michael before, I said, how you doing? He says, no complaints. I said, well, that's good. I said, I recently saw a sign. It said the complaint department is open from 3 o'clock in the morning to 3:02 in the morning, and there's a long line, so, you know, you might as well not come by. So, you know, the idea is that sometimes we see life as, you know, hitting us. And certainly, and I feel that too. Sometimes, God, I don't want another one. You know, my one of my associates emailed me on an issue. Said, you know, I had the day from hell. Let me get back to you. And I just I went back, you know, breathe deep and talk to you tomorrow. We all get that. But what I'm trying to get at is life is really about an internal well of life. And it's not so much what happens to us, it's how we react and we respond to those things. And it's really those types of incidents or experiences that we define who we are. In fact, Peter, in 1 Peter, he says that we're tested as though by fire. And the picture is of an ancient goldsmith. And he'd put all this, you know, gold from the mines or whatnot in this big iron crucible. And they'd fire that sucker or that thing up. Pardon me. I'm really working on my appropriate etiquette. But they'd fire up the big iron pot there, and all of the impurities with the heat would come to the surface. And the goldsmith would take this iron or this like a spoon type of thing, and he'd literally look into the top of it, and he would take the impurities off, and he put him aside, and you know how he could tell if it was pure gold? If he could see his face in it. And so really it's kind of the trials and the tribulations that bring the temperature up, that show us what we're made out of, and show us our lack of patience or our blessedness with patience, that show us our perspective in life. And so, you know, Paul says, you know, count it all joy when you have these various trials and tribulations, you know, because that's what you're made of. And so, rather than the victim thing, if we can keep it in our brain, that's really what kind of purifies us and gives us that light kind of a thing, then how much better off are we? And how cool is it for people to see that grace gift living inside of us, because we have these anchors of faith in a God that cares for us and controls all things. That makes sense? So essentially what the point is, faith and trust is about reliability. You know, Michael trusted me, well, maybe you've been drinking before. No, I'm just joking. But there's a reliability. And you know how there's people in your lives that you just know, that you just know what their basic pattern is going to be? You know, there's old, you know, my cousin Ray. Yeah, he lives on my property in kind of a little spot. And I just know that Ray's going to be this way. Pretty much, he's like a time clock. You know, I just know it. Seen it for, 2-3 years now. Reliable. I trust certain patterns from him. And you know how you are with friends. You just have that sense of trust. And as you go through your experience in life with God, there's what a wonderful potential or opportunity to chart that reliability of God. Okay, now, that's my segue into the second part. I want to see if we can make this a very personal and practical application. Let's talk about the Bible for a quick minute. What is the Bible? It's a book. What's the book about? It's about God and his apostles, God's relationship to his apostles, to man. It's really the redemptive story. And ultimately it shows that, you know, it's the history. In the first books, you know, the Pentateuch, it's a lot of history, and it, you know, talks about the laws of God and this sort of thing. But then there's a section in there, and it's the Psalms, and it's kind of a very personal, almost poetic, I think, type of a book. And then there's the Proverbs, which is kind of a wisdom sort of a deal. And if you look at various books and types of books in the Bible, like in the New Testament, there's four Gospels. Did you know that there's a different reason for every Gospel? There's three of them. They call them the Synoptic Gospels. And one, let's see, Matthew was written primarily to a Jewish audience to show that Christ was the Messiah. Matthew, Mark, was to show that Christ was a servant to the Roman audience of the day. Luke was to show the historicity of Christ, that he was a man. It showed his humanness, you know, by and large. And then John shows a very different side of Christ. It shows his divinity. So there's kind of different purposes, but essentially, it's a history. And I always laugh because I think, let me take a little glass here because I'm going to laugh after I say this, because I think it's so true. It's a history and it's a herstory. It's his story, and really what? It's her story. So for everybody in here, we have a story. And what I want to challenge you to do, and as I say this, I always say, you know, you point one finger out and three of them are coming back at you, because the challenge is triple fold to me, since I'm suggesting it, is to start and write your own Bible. Your history, or your herstory, your story of life. And maybe, just as a suggestion, and if you're inspired in a different way, you know, do it a different way. But if you start writing down, maybe take a section, and I didn't bring it, but I have this really thick journal. It's kind of a book-bound deal. And I've been writing reasonably regular recently since I came to what I call Angel Church. And some of the most incredible things that have been spoken, I go, oh my God. And then within a week or two or a period of time, it's like, I heard about you. You know, people would come to my life, into my life. I've been waiting for you. I mean, it's been the most, the wildest thing. And so if I could just suggest to you, if you take a section and maybe even go back through your life and just kind of write down, it might be a cool thing to hand down, you know, for generations, because we've kind of lost in our culture the storyteller. You know, we're TV watchers, but we're not really great storytellers anymore. And really, over history, culture survived because of storytelling traditions, and, you know, about your grandfather and your great-grandfather and things that went on, and you understood your roots. So maybe take a section and just write your story, your history, as much as you can remember. And it'll probably be a good thing. It might even be therapeutic in the sense that, you know, there might be some things back in there that keep you stuck. And then take another section, and I haven't done this yet because I just, you know, I was thinking this afternoon, oh, shoot, I got to speak tonight. I better get back together. And I'd been kind of thinking about some things over the last week. But then take another section and create your own songs. And, you know, kind of that emotional side. You know, when you're really happy about something, or when you're really angry. You know, have you ever been really angry at God? Like, what the heck is this all about? You know, kind of like, and I think we all get there. You know, David was there. When he wrote the Psalms, I mean, that's one of the most beautiful bodies of work of anger and sorrow and laughter and joy and all these kinds of things, that it would be great to have a section where you could go to and basically write down all the emotional kinds of feelings and your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. It doesn't have to be limited, you know, heavenward. And then maybe do a time, a place of wisdom, kind of the Proverbs. And I find it really interesting. When I went to Bible school, and we studied, and we were supposed to memorize all these, you know, verses, and I found it very profitable. But I'm finding now, as I'm getting older, that there's some little pearls of wisdom that I can put in my own words, and it doesn't have to mimic what's in the book. Because, you know what? God works through each of us, and He gives us words, and He gives us perspective. And so have a wisdom section in your Bible, in your own book. And then maybe have a section, and this is one that I just think would be really, really awesome for, you know, some people that, you know, you kind of have a sense of what you want to do with your life, but maybe there's kind of a feeling of being stuck. And you kind of have a vague feeling. Have a whole section about dreams and visions. And not necessarily the dreams and visions when you're sleeping, but certainly write those down if you can remember them. But write down your dreams and vision of, I want to be XXX. And then write it down. If it's in here and you commit it to a piece of paper, guess what? There's a power that goes to it. It's a thought that begins to take action. And then just continue to refine the thought. Have a section of your dreams and visions. And then, like I've been doing for the last couple of years, have a section where your encounters with God and His angels. Bless you. And I think it's in Hebrews, in the early couple of chapters, it says, you know, be careful because you might be entertaining angels unaware. In other words, you never know who you're really talking to. I just saw the preview to Men in Black. How many people saw that movie? Yeah, I just saw a preview recently on Men in Black 3, I think.
Two.
Two, okay, the one that's going to come out in June. Absolutely hilarious. And, you know, it's Tommy Lee Jones, I guess, he's working in the post office, and he goes in and he's looking, and it's not this human, this guy's got four hands, and he's just this hilarious kind of creature. And you just never know. You never really know who you're talking to. And, you know, just on a little note, a recent one, I got a call the other day, about 2 weeks ago, and then I'll wrap up here, from this woman that called about the Film Society, and she says, yeah, you know, what's your website? I'm trying to find this out. And I was kind of in the middle of something, and I was kind of impatient, and I said, well, it's independentfilmsociety.org, and she said, okay, yes, IND, and I'm getting just kind of short, but I got through it, and then she says, you know, by the way, I'd really like to learn more about what you're doing. She says, I finance movies. I said,
hello.
I want to talk to you. And I laughed, and I told her that, and she says, well, that would be good. I'd like to get to know you, too. And so we had, you know, lunch a couple of days later, and she introduced me to this other person. It's got this actually very revolutionary marketing system for marketing films. And I hate to, you know, you don't want to say too much because it's just kind of in the talk. But the point of it all is that here's a woman that I could have maybe, you know, ma'am, it's independent films. You know, I got to go, bye. Well, I have a sense that maybe this woman's an angel, and whether she's got her wings or doesn't have her wings or however all that stuff works, you know, it's those little encounters that could turn up some very, very great opportunities. And so I guess what I'm saying is treat every encounter that you have as a divine encounter, because you just never know. You just don't know. And then write down your encounters, your messages, your dreams, your visions, your thoughts, and then maybe in a opposite section when you get an answer. Because then what happens, and what I ultimately want to get to, is when you get discouraged, you can go back to your own Bible. You're sure you can go to the Holy Bible and our traditional scriptures, but you can go to your own Bible and go, my gosh, da-da-da, read it, reinforce that God has in fact been involved in your life every step of the way. When you get discouraged, you want to go back to those reliable anchors. And then you can get to that sense of there's nothing that can touch me, that God doesn't allow. Whether it be in life or death, there's nothing, because we're eternal. We have a very special purpose. And I know we're going to probably say the 23rd Psalm, but although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because we know that we're spiritual people having a human experience, rather than human people searching for the spiritual experience. Big difference. We're spiritual people having a human experience in this body. And sometimes, you know, I wish it worked better. Maybe I wish it wasn't quite as, you know, prosperous right here. But you know what I'm saying? It's a spiritual experience in this existence, and God's got this incredible journey. There's a guy that wrote a book, The Prayer of Jabez, Wilkerson. Yeah. He was actually one of my teachers in college before he got big and famous. And in the book, there's a section, and the kind of the picture is you get up to heaven and there's this big warehouse and you say, what's in there? And the angel says, you know, come on in. And you go in there and A, B, C, D, and then you go down to, well, okay, my name's Dan, so I go down to the D's and I go down and I find this big box on this big shelf kind of thing. And this is Dan Harris. I said, well, what's that? That's an awful big box. It's got my name on it. I never knew about that. He says, that's all the things that God had for you, but you never asked Him for it. You never asked Him for it. And in that prayer, he talks about every single day, God, increase my portion. God, be a part of